You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
You may have heard movies like Facing the Giants, Courageous, Fireproof, War Room. Well, there's another one coming our way, The Forge. Alex, have you heard about The Forge?
Bert, I have to say I haven't.
Okay. The Kendrick Brothers, that's their new movie, and it is opening tonight in theaters all over America. And we are asking people to go and attend. We got to see a special preview, and I want to tell you it's worth everyone's time to go and money. And if they can have a huge, huge, you know, first weekend, it means more theaters, more people will see it, and they will hear about the good news of Jesus Christ and growing in Christ. So, Alex, if you can go see it, don't miss The Forge.
Well, if it's done by the Kendrick Brothers, you know it's going to be first class. It's going to be great. Well, yeah, I'm looking at the website now, and that releases today. That's exciting. I'm glad that you've made us aware of that, brother.
Well, I wanted to, and Jan and I went to see it, and she was talking about it. She said, Bert, don't forget that. And I had, you know, for me to not forget something, Alex, you know what I have to do? Write it down.
What?
Write it down.
And, well, I find myself doing that a lot, too. But that's good. Wow.
We better give that phone number, and then I'll throw it to you, and you can tell us a little bit. But that number, it's Fire Away Friday, is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question, there's the first caller coming up right now. Who will be the second? But call that number, 888-589-8840. Alex, I know you've had a busy week, New Jersey, traveling back. Brother, have you caught your breath?
Well, I think so. Yes, I think so. And I'm looking forward, for those that might be in Colorado, for the next two Sundays, I will be at Vista Grande Baptist Church. It's in Colorado Springs, probably the flagship Southern Baptist Church in Colorado Springs, El Paso County. And I'll be there this Sunday. I'm going to be doing a message on why Jesus died on the cross. And we'll be having the Lord's Supper. And just keep that in prayer. And if you happen to be in Colorado Springs Sunday morning, I'll be there in two services. And Bert, will you be in a pulpit this Sunday?
I will. I'll be up in West Tennessee at West Shiloh Baptist Church. I'm starting a meeting there, and I'll be preaching. So if anyone's up in the Savannah, Selmer, Tennessee area, or Corinth, Mississippi area, and they would love to come. And the worship services Monday through Wednesday will be 6 o'clock, and I'll be preaching concerning revival. And Sunday morning I'm preaching on "We've Never Been This Way Before." So if you can come on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, I think you'd really, really be blessed. West Shiloh Baptist Church. So Alex, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, amen. Well, 888-589-8840, that's the number, toll free, if you've got a Bible question. And Bert, where shall we begin?
Let's begin in Texas and go to Judy. Judy, thank you for calling.
I have never been able to get to y'all, and I am so happy I'm able to. I love y'all's show and all of AFR.
Well, thank you, Judy.
Yay.
Thank you. You've
praise
blessed
God.
Us by you finally getting through. Thank you for keeping on. Go ahead.
You're welcome. I wanted to explain that I'm going to see the Forge tonight. I already have tickets. But if you didn't know, the Sight and Sound Theater, August 31st, September 1st and 2nd, they're streaming their presentation of Daniel.
Oh, wow. If you haven't ever been to Sight and Sound, Judy, tell us, have you been to the Sight and Sound Theater before?
Absolutely. Well, it's awesome.
Okay. It just amplifies everything better, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I wanted to say the first night, August 31st, it will actually be a live presentation streaming. The other two will be recorded, but I can't wait to see them.
Well, Judy, thank you for calling.
Amen.
And appreciate you listening to AFR and especially exploring the Word. And you have a blessed night tonight as you watch The Forge there in Texas. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Georgia. Trin, thank you for calling. Trin.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
This is Lynn. I had wondered about when Jesus was crucified and he went down, they said after during those 3 days, then he went down and preached the gospel to the demons in hell. And I had never really heard that before. I heard a preacher talking about it this morning, and I wanted a little clarification on that if I could get some.
Okay, well, it sounds like from what you heard, some clarification may need to come forth. Alex, he did go and preach, but it sounded like to me he preached to the saints that were being held, ready to depart the place they were to the place he was taking them. Go ahead.
Yeah, after dying on the cross, but before rising on Sunday morning, there was a lot going on in the invisible realm. And yes, to the believing saints of old, the Old Testament people that believed God and in faith looked to the Messiah that would come, there was a proclamation of victory. Do you remember in Luke 23:42-43, Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So from Abraham's bosom to heaven proper, Jesus took those saints of the Old Testament to heaven. But I think, like the caller said, to the fallen angels and the unbelieving, like Luke 16, the rich man, there was a proclamation of condemnation. 1 Peter 3:22 speaks that Jesus has victory over Satan and the hosts of darkness. But from that death on Friday afternoon to the resurrection on Sunday morning, there was a lot going on in the spirit realm that really our redemption was sealed and secure already. But it was almost like Jesus spoiling the realm of the dead, taking the righteous dead onto heaven. That's like the ratification of the reality that the atonement had been achieved.
Amen. And Trent, thank you for calling. And listen, Jesus Christ, he's victorious, overcoming. Here's the key, sin and death. He's the overcomer, and through that power, we become overcomers with Christ in us. And that is awesome, and we need to live in that. Thank you, Trent. Let's go back to Texas and talk to Laura. Laura, thank you for calling. Laura, are you there?
I think you got my name wrong. This is Barbara.
Okay, Barbara. Sorry about that. Laura wouldn't happen to be your middle name, would it?
No.
Okay.
That's okay.
Well, I'm going to write it down. I write all these names down, and we got that one wrong. Barbara, go ahead.
Well, in the opening of your show, I heard you talking about the movie The Forge. And here in Abilene, Texas, we had it opening today in two different theaters, and I just got home from watching it. And I tell you, I think this is the best one the Kendrick brothers have made. I've seen them all. And this really exceeded my expectations.
Amen. Well, let me tell you my opinion, and Alex, you may want one. It's like whatever gospel we're in is my favorite, you know?
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Whatever movie I'm watching from the Kendrick brothers, that's my favorite, whether Amen. It be Courageous or Facing the Giants. But The Forge is awesome, Barbara. You are exactly right. And I want to tell you, especially men, the women, yeah. the ladies, go and find out what prayer warriors are. And then men, go to see what you need to be to other young men. And young men and young women need to go to see what they need to become in Christ. It is great. Alex, again, yeah. I hope you and Angie can line up to go see it before it closes out.
Let me tell you somebody that is in it, T.C. Stallings. Do you remember he was in Courageous?
Oh, yeah. He was a bad guy there.
Well, he preached at our church at South Elm Street Baptist after War Room came out. And listen, anything that he's in is going to be great. And he's in this one, I understand. I've not seen The Forge yet, but we plan to. And if for no other reason, just that he's a great athlete, he's a great actor, he's a great man of God, T.C. Stallings is in it.
Ben Watson, a great football player with the New Orleans Saints, is in it as well. And they're just great, great people that are involved in it. Thank you, Barbara, for that call. Let's go to Elena in Ohio. Elena, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I have a question about the rapture. Now, we know all believers are going to meet Christ in the air. But what about the children? You know, whether they're children of believers or children of non-believers? I know it doesn't specifically say, but what do you guys think?
Okay, thank you for that call. I know whatever God does is right, and it is ultimately good. With that in mind, Alex, I believe those children might be taken up as well. What do you think?
Well, I think they will be, and I know that sometimes parents have worried, you know, oh my goodness, if the rapture were to happen, what about our little ones? Let me say this, Bert. I think this overlaps with a discussion of what we would call the age of accountability. And, I believe that all children, infants, maybe those that are mentally challenged, that have not understood yet their accountability to God and their need for redemption, I think that they'll instantly be in heaven as well. Mom, Dad, don't worry that your little ones will be, quote, left behind. They are under the grace of God, and when Christ returns, they'll definitely be with you all in heaven as well.
Elena, what you do concerning eschatology, things in the future, they are the, let me just say, the big, big deals. I think it's very clear. Some of the others that is sometimes a little bit more difficult, we can trust God for those. We may not know everything about it, but we can trust God, and that's the bottom line. And so, Elena, thank you. We hope that helps. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Claudette. Claudette, thank you for calling. Claudette, are we getting that name correct? Go ahead. Hello? Well, yeah. Is it Claudette?
Yes.
We're having trouble, so we're going to put you on hold because we're not having that connection right now and everything. So, Alex, we hadn't got a minute, so I'm not going to go to another caller. And we've already talked about where you're going to be out there in Colorado Springs. Some people might not have known that, and they might be in the area. Can go ahead and tell us.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be at Vista Grande Baptist Church. And 20 years ago, Angie and I were members of this church when I was out there working for James Dobson. But I'll be there for this Sunday and the Sunday after, and doing kind of a series on biblical worldview. My Schedule is at alexmcfarland.com.
Okay. Well, we're going to be back in just about 3 minutes, and we're going to try to connect with Claudette and make sure that we get her question in, because we don't want to miss a question if we can. So stay tuned for more of Exploring the Word.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
Woke up with the sunshine shining on down, coming through the window pane. Got so many blessings all around, and joy written on my face. My worries are gone.
Well, welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex here. It is Fireway Friday. That means we're taking phone calls, and that number, and we do have some lines open that we think we can get to this many. It is 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question, we'd love to talk with you about it. Well, we're going to go back to Tennessee and talk to Claudette. Claudette, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm sorry we couldn't connect before, but go right ahead.
Okay. My husband and I this morning were looking at some general papers that came in the mail, but we got into the topic of cremation and underground burial. Is it in the Bible someplace, I'm thinking, where it's suggested that we be buried?
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily suggested, but it is done all through the Bible. But when you say underground, sometimes it was in a cave, just like Jesus was, more in a cave than it was digging a hole. But Alex, we've talked about cremation a lot these days because of the finances as well, haven't we?
Yeah, and Claudette, thank you for this good question. Nowhere does it say that burial, you know, traditional burial has to be the way that a body is disposed of. Now, it has been the most common and most pervasive way through all of history. You know, I think about how back in the book of Genesis, it talks about Abraham buried Sarah, and you know, in the Holy Land, I mean, there was the tomb of Samuel, and traditional burial has been the most common. But in recent years, and Bert, I say this a little bit with fear and trepidation, because I think everybody has to decide for themselves, and you know, like James 1 verse 5 says, ask God for wisdom. I'm going to say this. I don't think there's anything wrong with cremation. Now, like I say, the Bible doesn't specify how the mode of burial has to be. And somebody might say, well, yeah, but that reduces the body to just a container of ashes. Well, the Bible says that we return to dust anyway. And whether somebody, I don't mean to be a little out of school here, but regardless of the degree of decomposition, when that trumpet sounds, the Lord is going to reconstitute, and this mortal will have put on immortality. Bert, I think about the saints of God that have been dead 1,000 years. They're already turned to dust, aren't they?
They really are, and I don't want to be gross, but I had the experience of a friend, he'd become a friend and church member, that was deep sea fishing, and a shark got a hold of him.
Goodness.
And don't know exactly what took place and everything, but guess what? God knows, and God will bring that about no matter what, ashes, dust, or whatever it might be. So Claudette, look at it, pray about it, and I know some great people who have said, we're doing it because of finances. We had rather put our money on missions than, in a burial, and they've chosen that as a way to do that. So you do that, pray about it, and follow the Lord. Well, we have social media, and we get questions at Facebook. We also get them at word@afr.net. By the way, our Facebook family is growing. We had 47 just the other day, and now more, Brent?
We're at 9,362.
Okay.
9,362.
All right. Okay, if my math is right.
How about we get to 9,500 today?
Yeah, well, I believe
we could.
We could
do that.
Hey.
You guys heard it.
Like
9,500 by the time we leave here.
Like us. But you have a question someone sent in as well,
I do,
right,
and
Brent?
It was from Facebook, and he's actually sent some really good questions in before that you guys have answered. It's from Fidel. He says, I have a basic knowledge of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists and the two witnesses, but I would like to hear your thoughts or teachings on this.
Okay. Alex, we got callers lined up. I'm just going to let you go and answer that, and then I'll get some more. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, you know, this is during the tribulation period. This is in Revelation chapter 7, of a number sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. So we know they're going to be Jewish people, and they're really going to be like 12, Bert, I've heard this said, so it's not original with me, 12,000 Jewish Billy Grahams that they have believed in Messiah. They are zealously sharing the gospel during the tribulation. Sadly, they are going to be martyred by the Antichrist. And, during Revelation chapter 8, things get really bad. But there are 12,000 Jewish believers from each of the 12,000 tribes of Israel, hence the number 144,000.
And the two witnesses, people disagree. We really, really believe Elijah's one of them. Some people think the other one is Moses, and some people think it might be Enoch. But either way, those two witnesses are going to be strong, and they're not going to be taken out of the picture until God says, okay. And they're going to have Christmas when they're the pagan Christmas when they... for his gift giving when they are dead, and it's going to be something. So, yes, thank you for that great, great question on Facebook, and you can also do it at word@afr.net. Well, let's go to Texas and talk to Loretta. Thank you for calling. Is it Loretta? Okay, man, Loretta, is that you? I'm sorry there. I can't get her. And let's go to Michael in Arkansas. Michael, thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
My question is, now I'm more in agreement with the Jehovah Witness, but my question is pertaining to Philippians 2, verses 6. Now, there is some context there, but where Jesus seems to identify that he makes a differentiation between himself and God. I just want to know y'all's perspective on that.
Did you say Philippians 2:6?
Yes.
Okay, let me read that. You got to read the whole context. Let this mind be in you. I'll start with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Here, that's important. But made himself of no reputation, taken, that's important, the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even at the death of the cross. Alex, thought it not robbery to be equal with him. He was equal, wasn't he?
First of all, Michael, I want to say I'm very glad you're calling, because one of the key foundational truths, core truth of Christianity, is that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. And I want to get to the Philippians 2, but let me just say this. Like in John 3:16, when the way the King James renders it, that God sent his only begotten Son. And the word there means of the same nature. The Son of God, Jesus, here on earth to be our Savior, had the very same essence or nature of God. Now, in Philippians 2, it's interesting. Jesus was not a servant who had to take on deity, but he is deity who had to take on servanthood. It says, though, and let me read this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. So if you read there in Philippians 2:6, the word morphe, the essence or form of God, and Jesus did not think it was inappropriate or anything he had to strive for to be equal with God. Why was being equal with God no problem for Jesus? Because he is God, you know? So he humbled himself, verse 7 of Philippians 2, made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. Now, Bert, you and I could do a lot on this, but Jesus wasn't merely human, but he was perfect deity that took on perfect humanity. And in the person of Jesus, two natures, fully God, fully man, not fallen man. And Bert, because of that, the incarnation, that eternal God took on humanity, he was able and willing to go to the cross to pay our sin debt. And so I know this is deep and there's a lot to kind of get your mind around, but it doesn't mean that he was somehow less than God, less than the Father, somehow maybe he was like a superhuman. No, fully God incarnate and took on humanity and thereby could go to the cross and fully pay our sin debt.
Michael, thank you for calling. We hope that helps. And stay in that word, because that's where he is. It's called the divine kenosis, that he,
yes,
perfect God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Go back over there in John. We beheld his glory. The only glory was that of God, the Shekinah glory. And so he is God. Combine all those together, and I want to tell you, you come up with the decision. As Alex said, perfect humanity, perfect God. That's Jesus Christ. Thank you, brother. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Ray. Ray, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks, guys. My question is about, it's in Genesis, during when God's given the curse out. I had two questions. When God says there will be enmity between the woman and the serpent, and then he says that the woman will attempt to rule over her husband. I was going to see what y'all thought about that, and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Ray, thank you for that. Enmity between his seed and our seed. The enmity is there. It always has been. Right now in 2024, with evil running so rampant, you see that quite clear, don't you, Alex?
Yeah, you do. You know, it's interesting there, even in Galatians 4, verse 6 and 7, God says to Cain, sin crouches at the door and desires to master you, but you must not let sin master you. You must master over it. So back in Genesis 3, when you read about the fall, the serpent tempted Adam and Eve willfully sinned, and in comes the curse. And Bert, we are feeling the ripple effects of the curse to this day. Now, what did the fall do? Well, there was a wedge between humanity and God called sin, and the wages of sin is death. There was a disruption between the relationships of people, even the, you know, the greatest human relationship we have, husband and wife. But even in the best of scenarios, there can be struggle. And, you know, God said of Eve, you know, your desire will be to rule over your husband, but he's going to rule over you. And then, of course, there's enmity between man and the animals. Now, praise God, there's some more highly domesticated animals, like Esther the dog, that you just love. And but then there are animals that, goodness, the predators and the beasts and, of course, the snakes that, I mean, Bert, you see the curse, like when if you ever have an animal that attacks a human being or an animal that's very skittish and won't let anyone touch it. We see, as much as I love nature, and I do, Bert, you know, I grew up on a farm and, you know, working outdoors, you know, animals, livestock, camping out. I love the outdoors. But as great and beautiful as God's creation is, we sense that there's an element of death in creation. There's poisonous plants. Bert, I don't think prior to the fall of Genesis 3, I don't think that there were poisonous, toxic plants. Do you?
I don't even believe that poison ivy or poison oak would make it break out. I agree with that.
Yeah.
You could go and just roll in it and not have any. I do believe that it was paradise. It was that perfect environment, but it shows man how we are in a even perfect paradise, perfect parent, man choosing that which is wrong. And so we want to go with Christ. Praise God. And I thank you for that, Ray. Hope that helps. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Jim. Jim, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking everything you take. I was going to take about something, but I've got something else. I do subbing. And I'm in third grade, a couple of years ago, and a little girl came up and says, do you go to church somewhere? I said, yes, I do. And she says, where do you go? And I said, I told her. So she says, you believe in God? I said, yes, I do. And the little girl sitting on the front row over here, she looked at over here and she says, my family doesn't believe in God and we don't believe in Jesus or any of that. And that little third grader put her hand on my arm and said, Mr. Duncan, let's pray for her. And I just cried like a baby.
Amen.
And I started praying.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
It
Isn't
is.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness.
Amen, Jim. Hallelujah. I agree with you fully. We were talking about this the other day, Alex. How anybody could name one thing in all of nature that has design that you cannot say has a designer. I mean, you see a watch, you see anything, you say, who designed that? Who designed that? That outfit, who designed that car, who designed that house, you know? And when we look at life, DNA, I really believe the DNA discovery has qualified God's design as much as any discovery in the past few years.
Oh, my goodness, yes. The evidence is so compelling. Creation, conscience, scripture, savior. These things are all best understood in terms of God existing, and God is knowable. Well, this is Exploring the Word. We're going to come back after this break with more questions, biblical answers. So please stay tuned.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. While we rejoice that Roe was overturned, the pro-choicers are very energized. They are winning the arguments and elections. We need to win them back. The people who bring you Wretched Radio have produced a powerful, persuasive, and proactive 13-lesson video series to help.
You don't need a PhD to tell you that human life is more valuable than the life of the ants.
Order Life is Best at shop.wretched.org and listen to Wretched Radio Saturday nights at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Can you be gay and Christian? What if you genuinely feel like you're trapped in the wrong body? Did God make you this way? Is change even possible?
Dr. Michael Brown.
Countless people ask me these very same questions. Some of them quite desperate. Many of them in tears.
Would you be ready to give a godly answer?
Each one represents a person or family member or loved one who's struggling deeply with their core identity.
Satan wants to deceive and destroy God's truth.
So we know that what this gay-affirming agenda within the church is doing is it's fragmenting Scripture, it's dumbing down the Bible.
And infiltrate the church with his lies. In His Image clearly and compassionately presents God's truth through Bible teaching, science, and the testimonies of those who know both sides.
My dad walked in the door and he said, Denise, I want to talk with you. And the first words out of his mouth were, I want to become a woman.
Get the 2-DVD set at resources.afa.net. resources.afa.net.
For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The Apostle James introduces us to the notion of a double-minded man as one who doubts whether God can grant the wisdom necessary to successfully navigate and overcome trials. The one who remains steadfast, unwavering in their confidence in God, in the face of adversity, is able to rejoice in the midst of trials because of the faith produced by intimate communion with God and full persuasion of his unyielding goodness. The unstable man is double-minded as to whether God remains trustworthy at all times and in all seasons.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
God's Word will remain. That's why we encourage you, believe the Bible, read the Word of God, internalize and meditate and memorize Scripture, because God's Word is forever. Jesus said that in Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away. Now listen, my words, said Jesus, will never pass away. Well, this is Alex and Bert. So honored that you're listening. It's Fire Away Friday. We're going to go back to calls. By the way, if you want to call in, the number is 888-589-8840. But, Bert, where shall we go next?
Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Hersey. Hersey, thank you for calling.
Hey, Bert, how y'all doing today?
Doing real well, good. Man. Good to hear
Welcome.
From you.
Hey, first and foremost, before I ask the question, I just want to say thank you. I'm grateful that the Lord God has continued to use men like yourselves. I travel a lot in my occupation, so it's nice when I can get in an environment where I can actually get AFR. There's some places we go, like, and it's just, I can't get it. And God's Word has always been sufficient, but it's just nice when we're able to get tap in and listen to AFR, so thank you for that. The question that I have, I was listening to Todd Dent earlier. I want to say it was the name of observation, and it caused me to think about a question that me and my wife were talking about a few months ago in 1 Samuel. At the end of 1 Samuel, I think it was in chapter 31, the men of Jabesh Gilead, they went and got the bones of Saul, and I believe they got the bones of his sons as well. And it said that they burned those bones. They said that they burned the body, and then they took the bones and buried them. So I don't know if that added to the cremation question or not, but I was curious because I know sometimes things are descriptive, not prescriptive. I'm just curious if you guys have ever seen that kind of go into the cremation conversation, and two, am I missing something? Is it like more of a ritual thing that was something that happened before they buried the bones? Is there something I'm missing historically, contextually?
Percy, first thing I want to say, great Bible student, brother.
Yeah.
It really, and great reference, Alex, right there. They did do that. And again, the whole thing is showing reverence to God's creation. We have here at AFR at the resources, AFA Resource Center, you can get In His Image, and you will see the value of human life. And again, that's demonstrated there, isn't it, Alex?
It is. You know, and by the way, like Hersey, I agree. I love what you said. That's a very wise precept. It's descriptive, not prescriptive. Just because the Bible reports on it doesn't necessarily mean that the Bible mandates it. But, you know, in that 1 Samuel 31, it's talking about that the men of valor took down the bodies of Saul and his sons and burned them and then buried the cremains, whatever was left, bones. It really was trying to show respect because, let me say, in the ancient world, if you could not afford a burial and just your corpse was sort of thrown on, you know, the rubbish pile, that was just very demeaning and demoralizing. And so I don't know if anybody has used the 1 Samuel 31 in the cremation conversation, but I think it could be a tangential, slight affirmation of cremation. But again, I think it's everybody's decision based on stewardship. And let me say one last thing, Bert. I know we got a roll, but as a pastor, I've been alongside many, many, many families and funerals, and I've seen people pour thousands and thousands of dollars into a funeral service and more, you know, things you can buy to, quote, honor the deceased. And I'm all about honoring the deceased, but I don't know, Bert. Rather than dumping tons of money into hardwood caskets and silver urns and all this stuff, I don't know. I think a good gospel-centered eulogy and then give some money to world missions, that might be a better honor. But that's just me speaking, Bert.
Well, that gets two votes from here anyway. I agree with you. Thank you, Hersey. I just want to say thank you, brother, for looking into the Word. Seek the Lord, and you'll see Him in the Word of God and find answers. It may not be exactly what you say prescriptive, but you can see, and it'll help you know about other issues that come up that are not directly covered. So thank you, brother. Let's go to Ohio and talk to Chris. Thank you, Chris, for calling.
Hi there. I had a really difficult question here. So when Adam and Eve, they decided to disobey God, It kind of sets a disturbance, I guess. And what my question really is why do you think, if God knows exactly what's going to happen and all, why do you think He let that happen? Why didn't He set better outcomes for it?
Okay, Alex, you got the question?
Yeah, really, because, I mean, it's just amazing. In Genesis 1 and 2, you've got the creation, you've got the origin of humanity. And then in chapter 3, my goodness, we're not even into the Bible hardly, and it begins, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." So to really get where Satan came from and how all this came about, I mean, you read about in Revelation the dragon or the serpent. You read about in Isaiah 14 that Lucifer sinned. Why did God allow this? Now, I do think it's important to note God didn't cause it. He did allow it. Part of it is because to have a legitimate relationship, there has to be the element of choice. We humans, every human from Adam and Eve to everybody listening, we have this thing called free will or free choice. And for there to be, I mean, all right, Lucifer, the fallen angel, Satan, among his other pernicious actions is to be the accuser. Lucifer might have said, "Yeah, God, of course they serve you. They're just robots. They're just puppets." No, we're not that. Satan accused Job and God, said Job only serves you because you've blessed him. No, for there to be legitimate love, the love of God received, the love of a believer reciprocated, obedience. Bert, I feel like there has to be the element of choice and volition, doesn't there?
There really does. No choice. It cannot be any other way. Love, and God desires that. Let me just share with you. He inhabits the praises of His children. Why would we praise him for who he is? And we get to know him, and we get to know him in love. There's two things more than anything else that God is. God is love, and God is holy. And God combines those in Christ Jesus in the incarnation and the cross and the resurrection. That is the power of the gospel. So we hope that helps, Chris. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Brenda. Brenda, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. My question is about Freemasonry, and I'm sure y'all know all the ins and outs of it. My main question, though, is about the curses and the generational bloodline. My main question is my two grandchildren, who are 10 and 5, can I pray over them to denounce and have Jesus cover his blood over them so they're not affected? Or does their mom have to do it? Or do they each have to do it themselves?
Okay. Brenda, thank you. Listen, to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, each individual must do that. The grandparent, the parent, no sibling can do that. Each person comes to Christ. I heard this. I forgot who said it the first time. God has no grandchildren. They're all his children once you know him. But prayer coverings, Alex, praying over, praying for, praying surrounding them. It is power. It is effective. That doesn't mean that person in with their choice that we just got through talking about, these two questions kind of run hand in hand, that person cannot break out of that and make bad choices. But praying over them, covering them in your prayers, I would say is vital as followers of Christ.
Yeah, like praying evangelistically, interceding. I think this, Brenda, this would fall under intercessory prayer. And yeah, to be saved, like Bert said, everybody has to, in their own heart, make that decision. But to pray for things to be most conducive for that, to pray for safety, to I've often prayed, Lord, please make this person spiritually hungry. And I urge you and everybody listening, pray for those you love. Pray for those you care about, because the effectual, fervent prayer of a godly person avails much, doesn't it, Bert?
It really does. Matter of fact, that we've been asked to pray each day, and we're going to do it on Tuesdays, but we're going to do it right now, Father. I pray, Father, that you would help Brenda, and I thank you for her and her desire for her children and her grandchildren to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. I pray that you would give her courage and strength, and Father, she would trust you. And we're praying a covering for America, God. We know there's some news breaking today with President Trump getting an endorsement from another candidate that dropped out. And Father, we're praying that you would see us through these difficult days. And Father, that revival, more than anything else, that we would have a renewal in our hearts toward God and toward morality and making wise choices. So Father, we're praying and believing and trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Brenda, thank you for calling. And let me just say something about grandkids. Those of us that are grandparents, listen, praise God for them. I have five, and we pray for them every day, Brenda. We pray for their protection mentally, spiritually, and physically. But I can say the most important part is that mental and physical. Spiritual. Pray for them. Let's go to Texas and talk to Olin. Olin, thank you for calling.
Yeah, this ain't no trick question. I can't find the other answers in the Bible about it, about the mid-book of Jude. Satan was fighting over with an archangel over Moses' body. I don't see that nowhere else in Scripture. It's kind of got me stumped.
Okay. I remember reading that, Alex. I want to tell you, I was like Olin, and I went back and saw that. There's also some things about Moses that comes out in the book of Acts that, was it Stephen that Peter preached, and they found out some things about Moses that's not necessarily listed specifically in the Old Testament. And this one is one of those as well.
Yeah, Jude verse 9, and it says, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, did not bring a railing accusation against him. And I was looking up this word about disputing. For one thing, the larger context of this, and Bert, you feel free to weigh in on this as well, is about, for one thing, in verse 4 of Jude, certain men crept in unawares, and the ungodly men who turned the grace of God into lasciviousness or license, denying Jesus. He says, I'll put you in remembrance. All right, the larger context is about humility and trusting God and not being presumptuous. So even like Michael the archangel, who definitely could prevail over Satan, but it says that they were disputing over what happened to the body of Moses. Well, God performed Moses' funeral. So, you know, wherever Moses died, God did the burial. And even Michael, with all of his authority, he humbly, in submission to God, said, "The Lord rebuke you." Daniel 10 and Daniel 12 might possibly be a reference. But I think one of the larger takeaways is this. Even an archangel has to operate and have spiritual warfare under the power and authority of Jesus. And if Michael needs the name of Jesus to stand strong in spiritual warfare, how much more you and I, you know, Bert? That's one of the main takeaways. We need every day. We need the strength of the Lord every day. If we're going to fight, whether the battle be spiritual, intellectual, whatever, it must be done in and with the power of God in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Let me just suggest this, and these are novels, but Frank Peretti has written several books, and it's about spiritual warfare, and it's exactly what you're talking about. That even the angels are under God's authority, but through prayer and God covering and how it effectively works for good. This present darkness is one of those. Frank Peretti. Ron, we're not going to be able to get to your call, but I'm reading it, and I want to say it, Alex, and you comment on this because you can use your other position here as you comment on things going on in the world. If 85% of Americans say they believe in God, why aren't the polls reflecting that? I'm sure he's talking about in the presidential race.
Right. Well, let me say this. Yeah, I do think the vast majority believe in God. But as our friend George Barna points out, very, very few have a biblical worldview. And sadly, many people that say, well, I'm not going to vote because what does it matter? It matters. It matters. Please, every citizen, pray. Think about life. Think about Israel. You'll know how to vote. Please make the initiative and effort and do it.
And develop that biblical worldview. Put the filter through everything. What does the Bible show us? What does it do? The other thing, go see The Forge. Do it tonight.
Yeah,
do it this
yeah.
weekend. And I want to tell you, you will be blessed. Well, Alex, I pray you'll have a great time there in Colorado. And we pray that we would seek God this weekend. Go to church. Worship Him and let Him reign in your life as we serve Him.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.